So that video that's actually a video of my brother Mark, who's a Christian rap artist in Sacramento, who did that. Isn't that great, seeing my brother kind of getting to do that for us? That's actually a lie. That's not my brother. I don't even know that guy. had to do that for the sake of the sermon. Somewhat harmless lie there, but I wonder if we realize how powerful lies can be, how powerfully destructive lies can be. A long time ago, 110 years ago in 1899, four reporters in the city of Denver who worked for four different newspapers were in downtown Denver, and all four reporters, they didn't have a story for the next morning's newspaper, and they were trying to figure out a good story to put together in the newspaper, and so they decided to make up a story, to lie. And so what they did is they agreed on the same story. They all told this lie in the newspaper. They told the lie that the Great Wall of China was being taken down, that the Chinese government was in conversation with American businessmen, and these businessmen were bidding the contract to take down the Great Wall of China and to build a roadway system. Now, this isn't fully confirmed, but many people think that that lie, which was then published in the newspaper, in these four different Denver newspapers the next day, which then quickly spread to newspapers throughout America, then quickly spread to newspapers throughout Europe, and then newspapers in China, many people think that that then led several months later to the Boxer Rebellion, which took place in China, where several thousand people died as the Chinese were getting very concerned about the Westerners coming into their country, and many Westerners lost their lives. May or may not have been that that lie caused that, but it very well could have. Lies are destructive. That's an extreme example, but I think all of us here have our personal stories of lies that we have told or lies that other people have told to us, and we've seen the destructive ripple effect of those lies. Now, I wonder if we also know how powerful the truth can be, how powerfully liberating the truth can be. You know the story of Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez, he's the all-star third baseman for the Yankees, highest paid baseball player in baseball. He, in February, admitted to taking banned substances. And recently, in an interview with ESPN, he had this to say. "I did take a banned substance. I do remember thinking in my bed in Arizona, it was like, what am I doing? Wake up, stop being selfish." And you get to a point where you get tired of being stupid and selfish and not being honest with yourself. "So I am sorry. I apologize to the fans. There's absolutely no excuse. It feels so good coming out and being completely honest. You take this gorilla and this monkey off your back. You realize that honesty is the only way. The truth needed to come out a long time ago, and I'm glad it's coming out today. The truth will set you free." So Alex Rodriguez, he faces the truth about himself. He tells the truth, and the monkey comes off his back, and the public is relieved to have heard the truth. And meanwhile, in San Francisco, another baseball player tells lies, and the monkey on his back only grows and gets more alienated. Barry Bonds, that's who I'm talking about. Do you know the strongest muscle in the human body? Is it the back? Is it the chest? Is it the thighs? The tongue. The tongue, James 3:5. "The tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." See, I'll tell you a lie. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's a lie. Words can hurt you, especially lies. But some words, true words, can set you free. So this morning we are in our ninth sermon in a series on the Ten Commandments. And we've got the ninth commandment today. 10 words in English, 5 words in the original Hebrew. And these are words that I believe the Lord wants to use this morning to set us free. To set us free from the lies that we tell, the lies that we live, and the lies that we have been told. So open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. God's word says, "And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. A columnist for Time magazine wrote this. "The injunction against bearing false witness, branded in stone and brought down by Moses from the mountaintop, has always provoked ambivalent, conflicting emotions. On the one hand, nearly everyone condemns lying. On the other hand, nearly everyone does it every day. So it would seem that you and I have a problem with the ninth commandment, don't we? Nearly everyone does it every day. Do you break this commandment every day? I had to think about that this week. Confession, I do. So this morning I want us to interrogate the ninth commandment. And as we ask questions of this commandment, let's ask the Holy Spirit to interrogate us, to search us out, and to set us free from the lies. So let's pray as we continue forward here. Father, I want to ask this morning, it's your time, and we want you to do with this time as you please. So I pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit, that your Spirit would search our hearts. And I think there are people in this room that some lies need to get exposed, and there are people in this room who need to be set free. So, Lord, would you come? Would you show up? Would you set us free? Would you be glorified as we look at the truth of your word this morning? In the name of Christ, amen. So, four questions that we want to ask of this ninth commandment. Four questions. What does this commandment mean? Why was it given? Why do we break it? And how can we keep it? So first question, let's look at this. What does this commandment mean? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? Well, first we need to know that the primary context of this commandment is the courtroom. And see, courtrooms in the ancient world were pretty different from courtrooms today. In the ancient world, courts could convene much more quickly and informally than they do today. In the ancient world, so much hung on the witness. In the days before forensic evidence played a role in the trial, everything hinged on the witness. And often you only had one witness at your trial. And that one witness, their testimony, it could prove fatal in your life. And later that changed when the nation of Israel came into the promised land. They set up a different plan. They had two or three witnesses that always had to be present at a trial. And the trials were done before a jury of elders. But in the ancient world, a witness's testimony in the courtroom carried tremendous, tremendous weight. And so the primary context of this commandment is the courtroom. Because it's in the courtroom that the truth counts the most. It's in the courtroom that truth or a lie can cost the most. And if you have a lack of truth and a lack of justice in the courtroom, that's going to lead to a lack of truth and a lack of justice in the wider society, in the wider community. That's how the Ten Commandments work. They prohibit sin in its most extreme form. The Ten Commandments say, do not murder, because murder is the most extreme form of hatred. The Ten Commandments say, do not commit adultery, because adultery is the worst kind of sexual sin. And the deadliest lie is a false witness in the courtroom. But this commandment extends beyond the courtroom. It calls us to be true witnesses in all of life because you and me, we're always under oath before God. We're always under oath before God. It's as though every day of ordinary life, our hand is on the Bible and we are swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We're always called to tell the truth, but we don't. We tell lies. So let me ask you a question. What kind of lies do you tell? What kind of, do you tell whoppers? Do you tell the big ones? Do you tell the little white lies? Half-truths? Misleading silences? Do you lie at work? Do you lie at home? Do you lie in writing? Do you lie on the internet? How do you lie? What kind of lies do you tell? What kind of a liar are you? Are you more of a self-focused liar? You tell lies to make yourself look good. Are you more of an others-focused liar? You tell lies because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You don't really want to speak the truth. You don't want to shake anything up. What kind of a liar are you? Well, what this commandment means is that we are never to bear false witness. We are never to tell lies. Now, some of you are wondering, well, aren't there extreme circumstances where you need to tell a lie? And really, that's not what this commandment and what the sermon is dealing with. Yet, there are extreme circumstances. If driving home from church today in the Buzzard family minivan on the 101 with my family, if I get pulled over by a bunch of men with machine guns and they pull me over and they say, is your name Justin Buzzard? Because if your name is Justin Buzzard, we're going to kill you and your family. And then they ask me, is your name Justin Buzzard? I'm going to say, nope, it's not. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to. There are extreme circumstances. And the Bible does have incidences where we see that lies are told to save lives. Rahab, Gideon, his techniques in warfare. There are examples of that. But this command is telling us that we are always to be people of the truth, who don't bear false witness, who don't tell lies, except for those very extreme circumstances. So our second question, why was this commandment given? Let's ask a deeper question. Why was this commandment given? What's the point? Why is it here? Well, did you notice something that's a little bit different about this commandment compared to the other commandments? The commandment says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The commandment didn't have to say that. It could have just said, do not bear false witness. That's what the other commandment said. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Why is that word neighbor here in this commandment? Well, this commandment has a radical focus on people, on your neighbor, on other people, on relationships, on community. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is the person you're sitting next to right now. Your neighbor, it's the person that serves you coffee at Starbucks. Your neighbor, it's the people you work with, the people you live with, the people you live next door to. And your neighbor needs you to speak the truth. Your neighbor needs you to speak the truth about them. Your neighbor needs you to be a truth teller, because we cannot have healthy relationships. We cannot have community without truth telling. You need to be able to trust people. So why was this commandment given? It was given for community, because lies damage relationships. Lies damage community. But truth telling, ninth commandment, keeping, allows community, allows healthy relationships to flourish. Listen to this great, great statement by Lewis Smeets. He says, truthfulness is an invisible fiber that holds people together in humane community. When we cannot assume that people communicating with us are truthful, we cannot live with them and trust that they will respect our right to the freedom to respond to reality. And if we cannot trust each other with respect to this basic right, we've lost our chance to be human together in God's manner. Speak the truth. Be the truth, for your truth sets others free. Truth. It's this invisible fiber that holds people together in community. And see, the why behind this commandment, the truth behind this commandment, might be more important to understand today at this point in human history than any other time in human history. And for two reasons. Truth in our culture is under attack. We live in a postmodern world. We live in a world that says all truth is relative. That's the kind of air that our children are breathing. They're growing up in that culture. And see, it's so much easier to break the ninth commandment when you live in a culture that's fuzzy about the truth. And what about community? I mean, so many people are living life alone. They don't even have community to begin with. That's our culture today. Dr. John J. Ratty, in his book Spark, he says this: in modern life, people tend to have fewer friends and less support because there's no tribe. Being alone is not good. So how many of you here, you don't have family here on the peninsula? How many of you? Good number of you. You moved here to the Bay Area for a job, and you don't have family in place that lives anywhere near you. And that's unique in human history. For most of human history, people have lived near their families and have had those support systems. We're living in a world where people have less support and less community than they used to. And so with community already under attack, it's so much more important to speak the truth and to build up community. You need the truth to have community. So, see, wherever and whenever lies have been told, community is broken down. Relationships have broken down. What happened when the first lie was told? Satan told a lie in the Garden of Eden. And the first marriage, that relationship, it was broken down. Relationship with God was broken down. Lies break community. Lies hurt relationships. Think about it in your own life. Think about it. What's one of the largest lies that you've ever told? What's one of the biggest lies? One of the whoppers. One of the biggest ones that you've ever told. What did that lie do to people? What did that lie do to your relationships? To your family? To your friendships? To your community? It caused harm. It broke down community. So this is why the Bible repeatedly tells us to be careful what we say. The Bible is big on truth because the Bible is big on people. The Bible doesn't call us to tell the truth just because the Bible wants us walking around spitting out true facts. The Bible is big on truth because the Bible is big on people, on relationships, on truth being told so that people can be trusted and so that relationships can flourish. I think the Apostle Paul had this ninth commandment in mind when he wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, For we are members of one another. We are members of one another. See, when we keep the ninth commandment, we reflect what God is like. We are created in the image of a truth-telling God. Our God tells the truth. He has always told the truth. He has never broken the ninth commandment. And our God is a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Because our God has always told the truth, He has always enjoyed perfect community, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so when we speak the truth, when we get to enjoy the relationships that come with the truth being told, we're reflecting God. We're bringing a little bit of heaven to earth. And the opposite is true, that when we break the ninth commandment, when we tell lies, we're pouring fuel on the fires of hell. Because you know what hell is? Hell is a place where no one tells the truth. Hell is a place where no one can be trusted. Hell is a place full of lies. Hell is a place where community doesn't have any truth to stand on. And I think all of us in this room, we've caught little glimpses of hell here on earth. I think we've all seen relationships, marriages, families, businesses, organizations, perhaps even churches, where the ninth commandment is consistently and repeatedly broken and ignored. And we've seen what that does to relationships, and we've all known when we've seen that, that's a small little glimpse of what hell must be like. God has given us this ninth commandment because He loves us, because we're created in His image, and because He wants us to enjoy the community that He designed us to enjoy. So let's ask another question. Why do we break it? I mean, if it's so clear to us that God gave us this commandment for our own good, for our own benefit, for the benefit of those that we love, why is it then that we keep breaking this commandment? Let's think about this together. Think about a recent lie that you told. Maybe a lie that you told this week. Big one, small one, any size lie. Think about the why. Why did you tell that lie? What was it that was motivating you to speak that lie, to tell that lie? Seems to me that we lie when we're afraid of something. Seems to me that we lie when we're afraid, that deep down inside the caverns of our heart, there's this control panel of fear that we have built and that motivates us to tell lies. See, pretty much all of our lies have this in common. We lie because we're afraid. Afraid of losing something. Afraid of losing someone's approval. Afraid of losing face. And you told that lie this week because you were afraid of losing something. I mean, do you know that your lies speak volumes about you? Your lies say something. Your lies, they reveal what you're afraid of. They reveal what you're afraid of losing. What do your lies say about you? What are you so afraid of? Are you afraid of losing someone's love? Are you afraid of losing someone's respect? Someone's approval? Are you afraid of losing certain comforts and securities? Are you afraid of losing control? Are you afraid of being found out? Are you afraid that people discover that you're living the lie that many of us live, that the person that you pretend to be on the outside is not who you really are on the inside? Why do you lie? I think we break this commandment because we're afraid. We're afraid of losing something. But I think there's an even deeper reason. I think that ultimately we lie. Ultimately, we don't tell the truth because we don't believe the truth. We don't tell the truth because we don't believe the truth. And here's what I mean. God broke into human history. The reason we have these Ten Commandments is because God Himself broke into human history. God broke into human history and He rescued His people, the nation of Israel, from their slavery. And He brought them into the Promised Land. He gave them the Ten Commandments as a roadmap to how to live their life for His glory, how to live their life and find great joy in life by following God's design for their life. But you and I, looking at these Ten Commandments all these years later, we know of another time that God broke into human history. God broke into human history by sending His Son into the world. Why did God send His Son into this world full of lies? Why did He do it? Why did Jesus die? Here's why Jesus died. Jesus died to tell the truth about you. Jesus died to tell the truth about you, about who you are. See, even though at his trial, all the people bore false witness against him, even though he was betrayed like that, Jesus kept the 9th commandment to hell and back. He bled to bear true witness about who you are. That's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus died. And if you and I really believed this truth, the fear that motivates us to lie would begin to weaken. We'd quit living our lies. We'd quit telling our lies and we'd start telling the truth. So here's the truth that Jesus died to tell you. And warning, this truth is worse than you think and it's way better than you think. Jesus died to tell you this, that you are so flawed and so full of lies that Jesus had to die for you. And you are so loved and accepted that Jesus was glad to die for you. Has that truth sunk in about who you are? How deep your flaws run? And how deep the love of Christ runs for you? See, here's the truth about me in this sermon series. The truth about Justin Buzzard in the 10 Commandments sermon series. I have broken all of these commandments. I regularly break all these commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. I break that commandment. I put other things before my God. You shall not covet. I'm one of the most discontent people I know. I'm always complaining. I'm always coveting. I'm always wanting more. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I'm a liar. I failed to tell the truth. But there's a deep truth that's been setting me free as we've been going through this sermon series. And that's that I'm a worse sinner than I thought, but I have a greater Savior than I thought. It's the truth that I'm more sinful than I ever imagined, but I'm way more loved than I ever dared imagine. And that's very freeing, to believe that truth and to confess that truth. Has that sunk in for you? I mean, do you see that Christianity is so much more realistic and so much more radical than all the other religions? Do you see that? Only Christianity tells the deep truth about who you are. Only Christianity says that you can be deeply flawed and deeply loved at the same time. Other religions say you got to clean up those flaws, you got to get better, and then maybe you can be loved, then maybe you can be accepted. Because the only Christianity gives you a God who knows the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about you. Everything you've ever done. Everything. He knows it all. That stuff you've never told anyone else. And yet he still calls you his neighbor. He still sends his son to love you. He still says, I love you and I'm going to keep loving you and I'm always there for you. Only Christianity gives you that. See, why don't we keep the 9th commandment? See, we don't tell the truth because we don't really believe the truth. We don't believe Jesus. We don't believe the gospel. It hasn't fully sunk in. Because if we really believed it, we wouldn't tell our lies. See, it's just, we just don't have a category for this here on earth. We don't have a category, a human relationship where we've been so flawed and yet still known someone's great love for us. I mean, even the best marriages, even the best friendships, they can be really good, but they don't come close to showing the love and grace that we have in God. So that's why we have a hard time really believing this and letting it sink in. So let's ask a final question. How can we keep this commandment? How can we walk out of here and keep this commandment? So what I'm going to give us are 3 very simple ways of keeping this commandment. They're 3 simple ways, but I think they're 3 hard ways just because most of us don't do it. It's simple, but it's difficult. And I don't want you walking out of here with a bunch of homework. I don't want you walking out of here thinking I've got to do these 3 things and all that. Maybe you just need to latch on to one of these, see what strikes you. I think this first one is the most important probably for most of us here. So 3 ways to keep this commandment. First, tell the truth to yourself. Tell the truth to yourself. You're never going to be able to tell the truth to your neighbor until you can tell the truth to yourself. And the fact is that most of us in this room live most of our life hearing and believing a lot of lies all day. And we don't even know it. There are lies in our head. Lies that Satan has whispered to us. Lies that other people have told us. Lies that we believe, and we almost don't even know it. And that's why it's so important to tell the truth to yourself. So here are some of the lies that I hear Satan telling people as I care for people in this church and pastor people. This is some of what I hear as I look at my own life and I hear the lies that just kind of play in my head. Here's some of the lies that I think a lot of us believe almost without even knowing it, and it's so destructive. Let's expose these lies. There is no hope. Things will never get better. I am worthless. My life doesn't make any difference. Nobody really knows me or loves me or cares for me. I'm all alone. I could never be forgiven for that. No one is in control. Life is a mess. See, John 8:44 says that Satan is a liar, that Satan is the father of lies, and Satan would love for you to believe all those lies. What lies has Satan told you? What lies has he told you? See, I have a burden in preaching the sermon, and that's that there are a number of people in this room who are living under these dark lies and don't even know it. And I want you to be set free. I hate Satan. I hate him. I hate him. He tells lies and he seeks to destroy people. I don't want you destroyed. Don't believe the lies. What you need is to believe the truth. What has Satan told you? Stop believing those lies. What you need to do is you need to cross-examine your lies. You need to take your lies, you need to look them in the eye, and you need to ask questions. You need to cross-examine them. You need to say, lies, what have you ever done for me? When have you helped me? When have you loved me? When have you given to me so that I might be better off? And when you really face your lies and see what they're really saying, you'll see that you must never listen to them again. Because they're not good. They're deeply destructive. Do you know how you overcome the power of a lie? You overcome the power of the lie with the truth. The truth is what sets you free. And the Bible is a book that bears true witness about who you are. And I want you to hear Romans chapter 8, a chapter of the Bible that I think addresses the core of all the lies that we're tempted to believe. And I'm just going to proclaim some of Romans chapter 8 to you. And I want to ask that you sort of, as I proclaim this, just hold out your lies and let them shrivel under the hot sunshine of the truth, Romans chapter 8. Hear God's word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God. Get this. Who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. That's powerful truth. Years ago, George Orwell wrote, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Look, this first application point is very simple. Tell yourself the truth. But it's revolutionary because no one does it. Tell yourself the truth. Develop the revolutionary habit of silencing the lies in your head by telling yourself the truth that is in your Bible. And there are 100 ways that you could go out and apply this. I'll let you figure out how you're going to apply it in your own life. But silence the lies in your head by telling yourself the truth that's in your Bible. Some of you might just need to spend this spring camping out in Romans chapter 8. Just meditating on this great chapter and letting that silence the lies. So a second way, a second simple way to keep this commandment. Tell the truth to your neighbor through the power of the pause. Tell the truth to your neighbor through the power of the pause. See, most of us would be a lot better at keeping the ninth commandment if we simply paused before we spoke. So I want us to look at this in a few contexts, a few different contexts. Truth-telling without love. See, some of you might go out and misapply this sermon. You've heard that you need to tell the full truth to people. And so you're going to go out to your spouse or to your in-laws and your friends, your roommates, and you're just going to tell them really hard truths about who they are. And you're just going to blow up a lot of your relationships. Don't do that. I mean, the spirit behind this commandment is love. The spirit behind this commandment is love. We're commanded to tell the truth in love. Because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of churches that tell the truth, but it's not done in love. It's done to punish. And so what you need to do is, this week, as you seek to tell the truth in love to your neighbor, I mean, you just need to pause and you need to check yourself. It's a great diagnostic question to ask. Am I speaking this truth in order to love or in order to punish? Ask yourself that question and it'll help you better keep this commandment. And you know, sometimes you are going to still have to tell the truth with a tough love. Now this week I had to speak truth into someone's life and it was very hard. It was not easy. It cost me something. See, the traditional way that we tell people to tell the truth is we tell them that if you tell the truth, you're going to be rewarded. Honesty is the best policy. Well, it is. But sometimes it costs. Sometimes telling the truth, you're not quite rewarded. You're a little beat up for telling the truth. The only way that we can be a church of truth tellers that tell the truth even when it costs is if we really believe the truth of how much it cost Christ on the cross to love us. That needs to sink in. A second area, gossip. I mean, gossip is easy to do because gossip doesn't always feel like lying, but it is because whenever you're gossiping, you're certainly not bearing true witness about a neighbor in love. You're not. An old saying says, gossip kills three. The one who speaks it, the one who listens to it, and the one about whom it is spoken. Gossip is destructive. So in any potential moment of gossip, pause and ask yourself this question. Would I say this about Mark Mitchell if he was standing right here? Would I say that? I have to ask myself that question all the time. Would I say this about Mark Mitchell? Pause and ask yourself those questions so you don't get into gossip. Now, third and final area, your work. You are called to be a truth teller in your line of work, in your calling, whatever it is that you're doing. What kind of lies do people tell in your line of work? Whatever kind of lies they tell, you're called to be a truth teller in that line of work. Is it advertising? Is it construction? Is it finance? What do? You're called to be a truth teller in your line of work. It's so easy to lie at work because everyone else does it. Don't do it. Be a truth teller. You need to pause before you send that email, before you turn in that bid, before you turn in those numbers. And ask yourself, am I being a truth teller? Use the power of the pause so that you can better tell the truth in love to your neighbor. Most of the time, you simply need to pause and realize that you have nothing to prove by telling your lies. Normally, you're lying because you want to prove something. Jack Miller, great quote. Jack Miller's pastor, dead now. Great line that I've been thinking about a lot the last few weeks. He says this, "You don't have anything to prove to us or the world. The work is finished at Calvary. And that work has unlimited meaning and value. Keep your focus there. When you're tempted to lie, you are forgetting Calvary. When you're tempted to lie, you're trying to prove yourself rather than realizing that Jesus already proved himself for you at the cross. Your identity is secure. It is safe in the blood of Christ. You don't need to tell those lies. So when you're tempted to lie, pause, refocus on Calvary, and speak the truth in love to your neighbor. Now a third and final way. Simple way of applying this commandment. Give forgiveness or ask forgiveness, whichever it is that you need to do. See, some of you in this room, you need to give forgiveness. Some of you in this room have really been burned by other people's lies. Recently, maybe a long time ago, someone bore false witness against you and it rocked you. It really hurt. There were significant repercussions from that lie. And it's eaten you up inside. And I am sorry about whatever happened to you. I'm sorry about what those lies did to you. But the only way that you're going to be able to heal, only way that you're going to be able to move on is if you give forgiveness. So I want to encourage you this morning to give forgiveness, to extend grace. It's not easy to do, but you're not alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be lied to. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed by friends. With His power, with His help, you can give grace. You can give forgiveness and move on. Now, some of you in this room, you need to ask forgiveness. You've told some lies that have done some deep damage, and you've never come clean. So I want to encourage you, come clean. Come clean, ask forgiveness. Go to that person who you hurt and reconcile and ask for forgiveness. And still, some of you in this room, you don't need to ask forgiveness from a human. You need, for the first time in your life, to ask forgiveness from God. You don't know God. You don't have a relationship with God. You turned your back on Him a long time ago. You've been living your own life. You've been living a lie. And it's only caused destruction. It hasn't gotten you anywhere. And you're sitting here wondering, is there hope for me? Can I be forgiven? Can God forgive me? He knows the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about me. And I want to just tell you this morning in closing that there is hope for you. You can be forgiven. God can forgive you. If God could forgive Peter, He could forgive you. Do you know Peter's story? You know that Peter, one of Jesus Christ's closest friends, in Christ's darkest hour when He needed a friend the most, Peter spoke lies. Peter bore false witness. Peter betrayed Jesus. He said that he didn't even know Him. But you know what Jesus did? After His death on the cross and after His resurrection, He pursued Peter. He pursued a relationship with Peter. He sat Peter down. He sat Peter down in the company of His friends, and He reinstated Peter. He reinitiated a relationship with Peter. Jesus extended forgiveness and grace to Peter, and He gave Peter a whole new life of ministry. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter went on to follow Jesus the rest of his life. And so you, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, you can come to Christ. You can believe this truth of the gospel, that it's big enough even for you. You can ask forgiveness, you can receive that forgiveness, and you can live a new life of following Him. And I'd urge you to do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the deep truth. We thank You that You sent Your Son to tell the truth about us. That when we really take hold of that truth in our lives, we can become truth tellers ourselves. Lord, I pray that more and more we would be a church of truth tellers, loving truth tellers here on the San Francisco Peninsula. And I pray for those in this room who have been living lies for a long time and who have never come to You and never received Your forgiveness. I pray that You would get a hold of these lives and bring them into Your kingdom. We know that can be done because of the blood of our Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.